Welcome to the December 8th, 2018 session of TeamSpeak for HPSDR. My name is Dave, KV0S, and actually this week I did get some HPSDR programming done. I've been working on a unified HPSDR programmer for both protocols. I have... I had been working on the library before, so I'm now in the process of reorganizing the web-based version of it so that it works, and it seems to be detecting fine. I hope to have it done maybe over this sometime in this month, but we'll see how it goes. So that's it for me. Next on the list, we have Henry, PA0HJA, shown as recording in a way. And then we have Mike, AA8K, shown as recording and mic muted. And we thank Mike for posting the TeamSpeak sessions to tsarchive.openhpsdr.org. And then after Mike, we have Phil, VK6PH. Go ahead, Phil.
Thanks, Dave. Good morning, good afternoon, evening all. Unfortunately, not a lot to report this week. Very busy work-wise at the moment as we get towards the end of the year. However, I was able to spend some time working on the ideas I have for enabling pure signal when we're running envelope tracking or envelope elimination restoration. There's quite a lot of work going on that area now, very, very successfully. And at the moment, if we envelope modulate the drains of the FETs and provide a steady phase modulated carrier to the gates of the FETs, then unfortunately we can't use pure signal. In order to do that, we need to have an envelope modulated carrier. I think I've found a way around that. I've got some sample code going, and I need to run that across Warren because he may need to make a slight change to pure signal in order to make it work. So I'm going to do some documentation for Warren during the hopefully over the weekend. But it's looking very promising, and I think if it does work, or we can make it work, then being able to use pure signal with the next generation of envelope tracking and envelope elimination restoral amplifiers is going to be very, very interesting. We're going to get as good a performance as we have now with IMD reduction, but with very high efficiencies. So looking forward to doing a bit more work on that. The other thing that happened this week, the Protocol 2 code has been officially beta released. It's available on the GitHub website. It is still beta, so just be aware that there may be issues that we haven't found yet. I think everything except for the 10E is currently available. I'm having problems with fitting the latest Protocol 2 code into the very small FPGA on the 10E. There is some original code which is out there, which I know Simon Brown's using successfully, with the occasional problem that requires a restart of the code, which I'll need to look into. So a lot of things too for people to start testing. Be aware that the early Hermes boards and the Angelia boards, we really didn't imagine running at a gigabit in those days, when the boards are getting a little bit ancient now, and in which case the thermal fuses, depending on the tolerance of them, may cause a problem running at a gigabit, because there's quite an additional increase in current at the gigabit speed. It seems to vary from board to board. The boards I have here don't seem to have any problem, but there is a reasonable tolerance on the threshold at which the thermal fuses will shut down, so it may be necessary on your board to, if you noticed erratic operation, tends to what happen is that the after a period of time the board will fail, and if you power the board down and start it again, it'll work again until the fuse heats up, in which case it maybe better to it will be necessary to replace the fuse with one of a higher rating. Apart from that, there seems to be quite a lot of people having success with Protocol 2 and enjoying Thetis and Simon Brown's excellent software as well. So bit of experimenting for folks to do. That's about my news for this week. Back to you, Dave.
Well, fine business, Phil. Next on the list, we have Bill, KD5TFD. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, folks. Yeah, actually, I just came in actually after Dave started talking. I just got in from work, so nothing really to report here other than, hey, I just finished my last work day of the year, so I'm a happy camper. Hoping to get a chance to play a little bit of radio during the time off, but got a whole bunch of other stuff to do, too. So I'll turn it back to you guys.
Well, fine business, and it's nice to have a long vacation there to look forward to. Next on the list, we have Bob, VE3GKM, shown as recording in a way. And that brings us to the end of the list, so we're open for general discussion. Oh, one last comment. It seems as though the server last week blew a switch in the rack mount, so that was why we abruptly ended TeamSpeak last week.
I'd forgotten all about that.
Not HPSDR related, but I thought I'd just mention one of the toys I purchased when I was wandering around the Shenzhen electronics markets in China the other week was a very tiny video camera. It's designed for medical use, but it's I guess it's probably about an eighth of an inch diameter. That's a tube, an eighth inch diameter, probably about 4 inches long. And at the end of this, there's the camera and illumination LEDs. And so it's designed for medical use, but incredibly, I think it was about $16 Australian. So it really wasn't a difficult decision. And it's about 640 by 480 resolution. So not, you know, not by modern standards, not particularly high, but very useful for looking in and designed to work at very close ranges, probably, you know, half an inch or less for inspecting things. But the number of uses I found for it during the week has been quite amazing. But it's an interesting little toy that one of many I gave into purchasing while I was wandering around the markets.
No, that's pretty neat. But yeah, having a little inspection gizmo like that that you can, you know, sort of slide in behind grills and things to see what's back there is quite a useful thing to have in the kit bag.
I was quite amazed by the magnification that was there. I held it against my the jacket I was wearing, and visually you couldn't see any structure to the cloth. You know, there was no weave apparent, even looking there really closely. But with a little microscopic camera, you could see very good detail the actual weave structure of the jacket, which that was the selling point for me. And when I got the price that the lady was selling it gave me in won, which I thought she meant it was in US dollars, which wouldn't have worked, but by the time I converted it into my currency, there was absolutely no decision to be made.
I bet that would be helpful for inspecting solders.
Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to use it for. I've had some, and actually I bought a couple, one for work and one for myself, because occasionally you get a solder joint you're not quite sure of, but using this little camera, you can get in really, really close to a pin and inspect it. So that's the main use for it. But no, very, very interesting technology.
Not radio related either, but I had a bit of fun actually watching Australian television this week. Netflix had, I guess, Secret City on, and I enjoyed it.
What was that, Secret City? I haven't heard that. I haven't seen it locally.
It's a six-episode series, espionage, China versus U.S. with Australia in the middle.
It's not called Pine Gap here, is it?
I'll have to go look. Principal character was a female reporter.
No, different story. But you get to see Pine Gap. It's about the joint Australian-US radio surveillance centre, almost smack in the middle of Australia. That's quite an interesting series as well.
Oh yeah, it does sound like I'm a sucker for any sort of TV espionage and spy stuff. So yeah, that would be right up my alley there. But oh, that's interesting. This thing apparently has two seasons, and it looks like Netflix only has the first one so far.
Hey, and Bill, the other one had radio mixed with your espionage.
Oh, that's always better. Yeah, radio with espionage, that's good. Well, provided they get it right.
Of course. It always is irritating when they try to sound technical and they get the details wrong.
Yeah, for me, it's particularly when they get their hacking wrong, it really annoys me.
Which case, you're not going to enjoy playing Gap at all.
Well, I might suspend belief if need be.
But the FFT band scopes are very interesting they're using.
I'm trying to think of... I'd swear I've seen some TV shows with some open-source SDR band scopes on them, or waterfalls, actually. That's the Wikipedia article on the this series I'm talking about.
And that's the one I was talking about.
Yeah, I just found that in Wikipedia, and it says it was released on Netflix and broadcast on the ABC in 2018. So ABC is Australian broadcast. So if it's on Netflix, I should be able to find it, I hope. Hopefully it's on Netflix US.
Okay.
Well, the last thing I need is more TV to watch. Okay, am I being paranoid or... In a browser, in incognito mode, I put in PineGap to Google and it showed up over there. And then I went to Cognito and went to Netflix.com and what are they showing me? PineGap. Are they doing this because I watched the other one or because they knew I Googled it in the other session? I wonder. But apparently Netflix in the U.S. has it. So how small of a change do you need for your ER stuff?
Not small at all, I'm afraid. I've got to do a complete, completely different, completely duplicated transmitter chain simulating an envelope modulated carrier, the output of which is just fed back for pure signal. So fairly simple in terms of architecture, but a lot of code, which is only used when pure signal is active. So the problem is there's going to be a timing difference between the envelope modulated carrier and the envelope transmitted presented to the power amplifier, and it's really a matter of whether Warren can compensate the delays. The positive side is that the delay is actually set by PowerSDR in order to compensate for the signal delay through the low pass filter that follows the pulse width modulator that generates the envelope signal. So theory, Warren will actually know exactly what the delay is because he generated it, but I just need to bounce that past him to make sure it's possible, and hopefully it will be.
I see. I was going to quip back that there are no simple software changes when you said that earlier.
In fact, Warren and I have tried simplifying the pure signal feedback signal rather than have to feedback from the output of the digital up converter into a digital down converter to try and feedback the data earlier down the chain. But we've been able to avoid feeding back from the cortic, feedback after the cortic, because obviously the cortic is just a simple frequency translation. But further back down the train, it hasn't worked for various timing issues. So I don't think there's going to be a simple solution. But it'll be a duplication, hopefully, of existing code. It'll be interesting. But the guys working in the ET and EER team really would use this, and I can quite understand why. It is, whilst they're able to get similar IMD products as the typical ham transceiver off the shelf, so 12, 13 volt PA voltage devices have, to get the levels we can get with pure signal using ET transmitter would be highly desirable. So motivation's very high to try and find the time to do it, Bill.
Yeah, well, it'd be a neat thing, and sort of push at least the amateur state of the art.
Yeah, the guys working on the hardware are doing a fantastic job. They're really really going well, and there's a lot of new the PWM high power PWM devices coming out now with low input capacitance, low gate source capacitance, are appearing that will run at higher voltages. So, for example, 100 volts. 100 volts is really nice voltage to use for your PA because it makes matching 250 ohms so much easier. And there's a few new devices coming out with lower gate to source and gate to drain capacitance, which means working at higher frequencies becomes possible. So, and also PWM devices for high frequency switching for computer, etc., power supplies are coming together. So sort of the whole lot sort of coming together very nicely now. And Rudy is has retired now, so he has a bit more time to put into this project. So, yeah, I say a lot of motivation for me to get this done.
Sounds like it.
Okay, well, I've got a lot of work to get done this this weekend. I want to catch up around the house, so I'll say 73s, everyone. Have a good week, and catch you next TeamSpeak. Bye-bye.
73.
Well, have a good week.
User disconnected from your channel.
Say, Bill, thanks for the advice over the week. It was helpful, and I'm successfully up and running.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, I hope that works out.
Well, Bill, unless we have more to discuss, I'm going to go check on what the wife's up to.
Okay, yeah, actually, I just realized I wasn't pressing the right button there. Yeah, glad that worked out for you. I've been happy with them. I've used two others, and I'd rank these guys, top of my list of what I've used. So hope that works out, and give a yell if you run into issues. I'll let you go, 73.
Okay, yeah, the only thing that I'm spending a little time figuring out is the panel, and it's generally fairly clear if you know what you're doing. So, and that's really what I wanted was kind of a plain vanilla outfit, and it works.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, that should work. I mean, unless you want to do, if you want to run your own stuff, then you got to go get a VSI somewhere and hook that up, but then you get into having to maintain it and do all the security hoo-has, and it's not as much fun.
Yeah, I don't really want to spend time on that either. So anyway, thanks a lot. It was helpful and got me going.